Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone's having a great week so far. I know it's only Tuesday. You know, I'm crazy like that. But I hope you had a great week behind you and a better week ahead of you. And with that being said, hello, Pam.
Hello, Phil. How's it going?
You know, it's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah,
looks like a great lineup of poetry tonight.
Wow, yeah. We got some good stuff sitting there, I think. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was looking for an intro song and I said, well, you know, I think this one kind of works. So,
oh, I agree. That was nice.
Yeah, it was a nice change. Something different for a Tuesday. You know.
Yeah.
A little
very
bit twist.
Cool.
Anyway, I'm glad you're doing all right. I'm glad you're doing all right. Got lots of stuff. Lots of happy stuff. Just good.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. So what's taking on them boards? Anything good?
Let's see. Well, we got a couple of callers that I'll go ahead and bring on. First of all, we have Lauren. Welcome, Lauren. Glad you could join us.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Shay Jean.
How are you?
Refreshed. I had a little nap.
Mm-hmm.
And
helps.
Then we have Naomi. Welcome, Naomi.
Oh, hello.
Join us.
Hello, girls. Hello, Laka.
Hello, Naomi.
Hi.
Welcome to the party. Woohoo! Lots of goodies tonight. Lots of goodies. So let me see what I have. Oh, yes. We have a starting point here in this party. I almost forgot we did. This little birdie came upon my shoulder and said, this would be a good starting poem. And I went, hey, that's a great poem. So I have to thank you, Pam, for that. Very much so.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let me see. After 10 o'clock, that thing happened. Okay. Well, Pam, do you want to read this for us?
Sure, I can do that. This is The Real Good by John Boyle O'Reilly, and it goes like this. What is the real good, I ask in a musing mood. Order, said the law of court. Knowledge, said the school. Truth, said the wise man. Pleasure, said the fool. Love, said the maiden. Beauty, said the page. Freedom, said the dreamer. Home, said the sage. Fame, said the soldier. Equity, said the seer. Stake my heart fully sad, the truth is not here. Then within my bosom, softly this I heard. Each heart holds the secret. Kindness is the word. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. That's a great poem. Kindness really is the real deal, isn't it? It really is. It leads to many other things. You know, and I find that intriguing always. So, yeah, so it's great, Pam. What do you think, Laurent? Did you like it?
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot. It's it has a presence, you know. It's short.
Mm-hmm.
And the response to what is the real good, I thought
right.
was brilliant.
Absolutely. You know, you're reading through each one of those answers, responses, and it's kind of like, okay. But, yeah, that last add-on to that is like, yeah, kindness. Kindness is it.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Naomi? What'd you think of that?
Yeah, it's short, but very powerful. And it's, it's a classic, eh? It's so well written, and it's so true. Kindness is what's important. It's the secret to you know, all the what is good in the world. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. Isn't that the truth? Absolutely. Okay, so let's see. I had Pam read, so I'm going to have you grab the next one, Naomi. This one here is by Lori West.
Can I read it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, be kind. In life today, kindness and love go a long way. So be kind to the people around you, and they will be kind to you as we hold these emotions in our hand like flowers. To see the beautiful moments of togetherness, joy, peace, and happiness. Let it grow in the world today.
Nice. It was a great little piece, short piece. Pam, what'd you think of that one?
Well, I always enjoy Lori West's brevity. She really just doesn't waste a word. She gets straight to the point. I really like how within this she talks about the importance of kindness. I like how she says moments of togetherness, joy, peace, and happiness. Let it grow in the world today. And then the idea that you know, kindness is a garden that just constantly is that needs tending. I like this. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, you know, joy, peace, and happiness are three essentials that would cure the human race of all its ills if only we practice those. But they seem to be in short supply these days, so it's good to see a poem, even a brevity, that speaks to be kind.
Mm-hmm. How true, how true. And Naomi?
Yeah, it's a lovely little piece.
Mm-hmm.
Left. So saying that, let it grow, let kindness grow throughout the world, and together we'll find joy, peace, and happiness if only we can let that happen. So, yeah, a great little brevity here.
Nice, nice comment. I think Lori did a great job with this, and I have to agree with all three of you. You know, I think that the brevity was spot on for what she was saying. And I think that, you know, with kindness, we could change a whole lot of things. You know, just stop being nasty to one another, and wow, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm keeping you awake, Laurent.
No, no, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
Okay, I have one here for you to read, Laurent, so whenever you're ready.
I thought I was on mute. Never would have done that. Shrug of the Street, okay. Shrug of the Street by Aramaku San. In the chill still, breath quakes and cracks, ruptures my hollow struggle, a strangle by which I hang. Wandered in weary steps upon the hollow night's final rites, woke to the icy dew of morning artifice and light, blue and red. The good word was frosted too. Ages of innocence beyond curfew, confused, awoke to needing to move. Hands, do they hold warmth? I forget. Do embraces shelter with love? I forget. Half dead, half still days, less than half of what once was beautiful, now pitifully made, arranged in dirt and sour smell. I awake. A man across lonely street screams to leave quicker. I know what an eyesore I am. So sorry to offend your eyes. In the chasm of a broken heart and soul, I lump my life into the shopping cart and begin my lonely road. The miracle then transposed an angel. I'll never forget this precious kindness in a woman's selfless love. She ran across the street to greet this homeless kid, only 18, cold and hungry. She gave me an orange and a sterile styrofoam cup of hot coffee. Forever I'll remember this act. Forever, as I continue my hapless stroll in life. Forever your kindness held back the chill of night's terror for a kid unaware of what it takes to live. And poem.
Nice job. Nice job. Naomi, you want to kick us off on this?
Yeah. Wow. This is touching, and it's sincere, and those last stanzas there, and the last line, kindness held back the chill of night. Terror for a kid unaware of what it takes to live. Wow, what a way to finish. This is amazingly well written. It's just a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Pam, how about you?
Oh, this one definitely is one of those hard-hitting emotive rights. To me, he touches on a sad reality that's for so many people who are homeless, and especially when you're homeless in areas where winters are particularly cold. And what I like about this write is there's a raw honesty to it. He doesn't try to, you know, make anything overly light and poetic. It's he presents his situation at the time. He presents the imagery that was the truth in the moment. And I like how there's the two different reactions. I think this is one of the most important things about poetry is we can share moments like this and show the true reality of how people react. There is that ugly side to humanity who does not want to help, who does not want to see what they can't accept or understand. And then there's that beautiful side of humanity that doesn't, you know, only wants to give love and to give kindness. And I think this just is a really wonderful write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. All right, how about you?
I agree wholeheartedly with the sentiments previously expressed. The title is excellent, Shrug of the Street. It almost personifies the street in the manner of speaking. The shrug, the uncaring street. Yet the street has a kindness to it in the form of an individual. The lines, it absolutely devastated me. Half dead, half still days. Less than half of what once is beautiful, now pitifully made, arranged in dirt and sour smell. It's excellent writing. All the way through this, excellent writing. Excellent piece.
Nice comment. Yeah, I thought this was a great piece. When I first read it, I kind of looked at it and I'm going, I had to look down in the comments, and I saw it's personal. When I was homeless at 18, I was walking for miles, pushing a cart of my belongings until I couldn't anymore. I slept on the grass beside a wall in a neighborhood in Phoenix. I woke to the cops. They said I couldn't sleep there and had to go to a park. A man started antagonizing me from across the street. But a few doors down, a woman came to me as I finished packing up, as I had pulled clothes out of my cart in my sleep because I was cold. It was winter in Phoenix at the time. She gave me orange and coffee. She said, I'll never forget her kindness. How interesting we've shown those two different sides of humanity so quickly. So, you know, I think that's why it feels so real, because it's so real, you know.
Sometimes you just can't guess what people's backstory is until they write something like this, and then you realize what an odd world it is.
Right, right, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, gosh, now I have to finish typing that. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Hi.
Oh. And just to let you know, Dexter has joined us. So welcome, Dexter. Glad you could join us.
Hi,
Dexter.
Yeah, he's trouble, that one there. Is he here? Like,
glad to be
Dexter.
Here. Hopefully everybody's doing well.
I couldn't help but tease you. Honestly, God. I'm not rude tonight. Well, welcome aboard, Dexter. It's good to have you. I figured you might be calling us.
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right. Well, that's always awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. Well, Pam, I have one up for you, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all. And this is The Biggest by Casey Day. And it goes like this. The world is the world's an awful big place to the boy as the moon lit up the snowy cliff ahead of him. Do you think so? Said the monster as he took a seat next to him. Well, yeah, there's mountains and oceans, began the boy. What about out here? Said the monster, pointing at the sky. Out where? The boy's brow furrowed. Beyond, the monster smiled. The boy sat and thought, what could be beyond the earth? He thought of all the biggest things he'd ever seen. He thought of all the wildest things he'd ever seen. He thought of all the scariest things he'd ever seen. The monster held out his paw, and tiny orbs appeared in it, spinning. Some were fast and some were slow. What is it? Asked the boy. This is the universe. Everything that ever was, is, and will be right here. Monster watched as amazement filled the boy's face. Wow, the universe. The boy reached out to touch an orb, and they quickly turned to dust. Monster giggled at the boy and said, the universe is an incredibly big place, but there is one place even bigger. Do you know where it is? I don't think I do, said the boy, frustrated. It's in here, said the monster, and he pointed a furry claw at the boy's head. Your thoughts, dreams, and imagination are far bigger than any place here or there or anywhere. The boy smiled, and monster did too. End poem.
Nice. Nice job, Pam. Naomi, you want to start us off?
Oh, I'd love to make this into a book and illustrate it. It's such a beautiful message in here, and it would make an awesome children's book, and it's so spiritual, and it talks of friendship too, and it's very well written. So, bravo, Casey! I just love this piece.
Absolutely. And Laurent, how about you?
Casey's got a great imagination and an awesome pen. It's just a beautiful recounting of a story based on the image. And I looked at that image and I said, I'll pass on that. I wasn't quite sure how to handle it. She handled it absolutely perfectly. It reads out beautifully. I don't think there's a misplaced word in this thing. It's really quite good.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Dax, how about you?
There's a reason why, The Simpsons has been one of the top television shows of all time and is still delivering. Is there's something that is ingrained with us when you can intertwine upper-level thinking with kind of cartoonish figures and a real, simple message, and when you can intertwine an adult theme with what you would originally kind of think of as being maybe a kid's adaptation. And I think that Casey really combined that very well. There's something very effective about that. And she hit on that nerve very well.
Dex, that was an awesome comment.
Mm-hmm. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is just absolutely beautiful. And I agree. It should be a published poem or tale. I like how she uses her imagination, expands on the picture using her imagination. And it's a made-up tale, but, at the same time, it does strike a chord with the idea of reality that, if you think about it, one of the most important things in the world is what's inside of us, our dreams, our imagination, our ability to create and expand upon ideas. And I like how there's the back and forth conversation, and I like how she captures the sense of awe and wonderment that comes with the boy and the monster conversing and talking about the universe. So just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. I thought this was a great story told. You know, I loved the tale. I loved how Casey wrote it. I thought it was just excellent. So great job, Casey, and thanks for sharing with us all. Absolutely. That was great. Okay. Let me see what I'm doing here. That would be a trick. Okay. That brings me to you, Naomi. So I'm going to put this piece up for you to read. This is by Kel Smiles. Mm-hmm.
By Kel. Okay. Kindness found. Small town up in arms. Child missing. Taken. Purple pink PJs. Worn. People rush to search Mayor raised state grids. Find the child's perp. Neighbors. Porch cam. Grainy gray images of a struggle with man in a van. Cops caught, cuff arrest. Search continues off the grid. People look breast to chest. Kindness leading to child. She's found safely sound. Arrest made, warrants filed. Note, this is a true story of my little hometown. Between the time the child was taken to the time she was found was approximately 72 hours. Thankfully, I live in a town where a child goes missing. The people don't back down until they are found. Unfortunately, too many children were lost or never found from the world around.
Hmm. Yeah. Nice read, Naomi, definitely. Narat, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I remember when this actually occurred on Friday. Kel had called in, and then she left abruptly, if you remember, and then left notice in the room that the child had been kidnapped. So she took real life and wove it into this poem. And you can't beat the immediacy of real life writing about something that just occurred. And thankfully, she lives in a town where kindness and caring count for something. Yeah. Thank goodness the child was found. Beautifully done.
Amen. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is very relatable because, being in Minneapolis, it's a little bit larger town. And when we get these text messages to our phone that it's an Amber Alert, you know, you feel like running out the door and having a sledgehammer in your hand or something. Like, you feel like your hair is on fire. You want to help. You know, you for whatever reason that there's a child missing and there's an Amber Alert, strikes such a chord in our hearts when that text message gets sent out. You just don't know what to do. And that really is a true testament, I think, to our inner down kindness when she's talking about kindness found. So I thought that this was an incredible poem about relating the prompt to kindness.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. And Pam? Ruh-roh. Pam Ray. Okay, well, how about you, Naomi?
Yeah, well, we had quite a few Amber Alerts over the summer when I was on vacation up in the gas bay. We had one there while we were on vacation, and it was a small town. And this was what happened was similar to this, like all the folks from the town, they all came out and everybody was involved, and Yeah, mm-hmm. So thank goodness for the kindness and, you know, what goes on. And sometimes little towns are, you know, everybody's closer and everybody knows each other. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so, yeah, there's a lot of kindness going on in little towns. More, I think, than, you know, a big, big city. So,
right.
And this is a beautiful poem here by Cal.
Nice comment. Yeah, I think that it was pretty well expressed to everyone. You know, she took the accounting of that day and retold the tale, and I think that was... it is a testament to the kindness of the community. It really is, because it doesn't always work that way, you know? It just doesn't always work that way. So thank God. Thank God there are communities like that. Absolutely. Okay. Let me do that. Okay, I have an audio up for the next one. This is a piece by Martha Gettle. So let me put that up. Hit that button. There it is. Here we go.
I Went for a Walk Today by Martha Gettle. I went for a walk today, feeling kind of blue along the way. I walked along feeling down, wearing my usual frown. When something caught my eye, just as someone was passing by. And right there in front of me was the prettiest smile I'd ever seen. That smile made me feel so good, better than I thought I could. Just that smile sent my way, brightened up my whole day. So when you're out on the town, watch for those feeling down. Send them a smile, you never know just how far a smile can go. That smile made me feel so good, better than I thought I could. Just that smile sent my way, brightened up my whole day. So now when I go for a walk, I smile, sometimes I stop and talk. 'Cause of this, I am living proof. A smile can change those you give it to.
Thank you, Ms. Martha Gettle. And hello, Thomas B. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi, Tom.
Yes. Well, Thomas, since you're the new one on the block here.
I'm the first one on the block, huh?
This is
a wonderful Martha Gettle tune, and really strikes to the heart of the whole thing, which is you tend to get back what you give out, and you create around you what you're willing to have be in existence. And she wants to have people smiling, and I think she probably succeeds rather well. You create your own spells.
There you go. Good comment. Pam, how about you?
I like, as always, she has wonderful rhyme and flow, great lyrical quality, and I really especially like the message in this. And the whole idea that something as simple as a smile, like, makes a difference. It, like, gestures of kindness don't have to be huge and grand. It can just simply be brightening somebody's day by offering them a smile. So just a really nice, bright, and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Nice comment. Okay, and Naomi, that brings me to you.
Yeah, I always loved Martha's songs. It's true, so true. A smile, just a simple smile can brighten up your day. So well said through this song. So bravo, Martha.
Absolutely. Laurent, how about you?
Oh, the smile is so important. Anthropologists love to talk about evolving of a facial grimace that says, I am a friend, I am not an enemy, I like what you seem to be. It wasn't, the smile was not initially constructed as an expression of humor, but as an expression of friendship. And of course, our understanding of the smile has evolved, and Martha puts it in perfect language. Well done.
Nice comment. And Dexter, that brings me to you.
I'm absolutely cut from the certain cloth of style points and heart. You know, really mean something, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people that really can construct a perfect song or in things like, and, you know, can, you know, hit the perfect note and things like that. But I really give extra points to people that sing it from the heart and have an original style about them and have something just that is theirs. And I think that she captured that very, very well. Here, it was not only great writing, but it was great style. And I thought that was fantastic.
There you go. Great comment, Dex. I think Martha did a nice job with this piece. I think she really did hit the notes on kindness throughout it. So wonderful job. And thank you, Martha, for writing for the contest. I appreciate it. Okay. Let's see now. Okay, the next one I have is by Eric Svensson, and I have a sound clip for him, too. Give me 2 seconds, and let me play that.
Hearts of hearts, dear hearts, imagine an endless ticker tape parade, like perfume petals raining down in a Bollywood movie set. Sari-clad dancers will a potpourri of vibrant color. Or think of the Diwali light festival. Brave little lights flicker, shine their pinprick ticker tape petals. Miraculously, a darkened world chrysalis cracks open. Henna hands butterfly, cup endless gratitude. Street urchins dance with squirrel acumen. Kith and kin will, delightful dervish joy spins. Precious heart, you still have unimagined kindness to give. Fleeting candy floss on lips. Rickety country fair Ferris wheel. Labors not in vain, thrills spill over, laughter cascade ticker tape parade. Like in good old Laurel and Hardy movies, flicker flicker from celluloid frame to frame. Quirky attitudes underwritten by crikey kindness. Kindness treats. Whereas doubt tricks. Why do you confuse kindness with weakness? Dear heart, precious heart, doubtful heart. Decades later, you still wonder what happened to that little old lady? The one who fell on the pavement right in front of your eyes. Helpless eyes floundered, followed wayward youth's flurry scurry rush by. Meanwhile, treadmill years have ticker tape rained down, like a cherished chorus from a favorite song refrain. Wouldn't you say, Thomas, between bookends of birth and death, curveball kindness brightened many of your own dismal days and poems?
Great audio, Eric, and we appreciate that very much. Let me see now. Last time I started with Thomas. So it brings me to Pam.
Yeah.
Pam, what do you think?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I just really always have a great time listening to Eric's writing. It's always so creative, and I like how he has this in a letter form where he says, "Dear heart, precious heart." I like that he brings up the Diwali Light Festival and the Henna Hand Butterfly Cup, Endless Gratitude, Street Urchin Dance, with Squirrel Acumen. I like within those lines, there's kind of to me this idea that it doesn't matter what life is like for you, that sometimes people who lead the simplest lives can find the greatest joy. And I also like that there's this idea in the last end of looking back. Decades later, you still wonder what happened to that little old lady, the one who fell on the pavement right in front of your eyes, helpless eyes flourished. And I think we all have moments like that oftentimes, maybe not quite that dramatic, but, you know, that whole idea of looking back and could I have done something more, or, you know, that, I think that's just a really touching and heartfelt part, but it's really just an amazing write all the way through on those moments of kindness or those moments where we should have showed more kindness that really make an impact on ourselves. So very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, so many times we do confuse kindness with weakness, and it's so true. And just like Pam said also the last part there, you know, it's true that a lot of times we see things and we say how, you know, I should have helped and you regret later. And he is a magician of wordplay. Oh, my gracious. It's just exquisite. And, you know, he has alliteration in there and he has twisted phrases and, it's just a chance he reads it because I wouldn't be able to, I don't think. But it's just beautiful to hear. And the message throughout is really cool. So bravo, Eric.
Nice comment, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
Excellent wordplay, excellent phrasing. I like the way he broke it up into three. Dear heart, precious heart, dear heart. He cites any number of examples of joy and happiness, but then payoff comes in the last stanza when he talks about the little old lady fell on the pavement right in front of your eyes. Helpless eyes floundered, followed wayward youths, flurry, scurry, rush by. Meanwhile, treadmill years have ticker tape rained down. It speaks to the prompt, you cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. You did an excellent job with this. As usual, beautifully read.
Absolutely. I agree with that one. Okay, and Dexter.
Yeah, I just really enjoy it. I kind of got a new appreciation even for Eric's rates on this one, because I kind of got the rhythm that he has, and it seems like he goes from broad picture to tight. It's almost like macro to micro, and once he hits a certain and it was like this one, it was like he's cruising along in a story, and once he hits a certain emotion, he dives directly into that emotion. And so it seems very abstract, but he has a certain way of really attacking certain points in the story that he wants and then going back out. This is just a very sophisticated write and just a fantastic piece.
Great comment, Bex. Great comment. And Thomas, last but never least. And away he went. Well, I think that, as always, Eric did a wonderful job with this. He did hit all those notes of that prompt, and that was a great prompt as well. You know, I really liked all of these prompts. I thought that they were pretty cool. They all had personality to them, and it was a softer, kinder personality, considering they were furry monsters, you know. They weren't ominous by any means, but there was just really some wonderful notes of everything. I mean, it wasn't all about just kindness. I mean, there was just a softness about them. And I have no idea who did those images. All I know is I ran across them, and there they were, and I went, yeah, I like them. So, you know, I thought that they brought out kind of the goodness in people, you know. But, yes, yeah, I came up with a good one when we talked about it. She goes, yep, kindness. And I went, oh, my God, yes, 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 perfect. So I'm glad that people enjoyed the prompts enough to do the thing. Okay, I'm not sure, but we lost Thomas. So for now, Laurent, if you'd be so kind, I have a poem up for you by Daniel DeShino.
Who gives us kindness to be human. Time is a thief in the night. Actions, movement, every breath to steal and hoard, every muscle twitch snatched by its eager claws, not to be recovered. Lost in a spider web of memories, entangled in 1,000 other spider webs that each heartbeat weaves. And each morning, dew drops spread across the strands, the glisten and starshine for all to see what I have left behind. I wish for wishes, but wishes I get, each moment a wish to avoid more regret. A circus, an audience of performers, a balancing act on a rotating sphere, afloat in the ether, day after day, night after night, selfish to survive, selfless to aspire. And choice, the relentless, sadistic ringmaster, whip cracking, command screaming. Choice, the birthplace of the bounty for that relentless thief, time. The weapon within battled them all, the human in humanity, kindness from reflection, to know nothing of the struggles of those around me, is to know how deep their struggles may go. A helping hand to a helpless hand. A thief in time may keep. Do not look to get it back. I am happy with what was, and that none can steal. Poem.
Nice read, Laurent. Nice read. Okay, that brings me to you, Dexter.
Yeah, this is a fantastic piece, and to be honest with you, from a writer's standpoint, this was the pace of a write that I set out to accomplish, and I ended up dragging dragging each one of my lines way off. So I really enjoyed the pace that he wrote with. It was kind of a mismatch, kind of a hodgepodge, but it was quick paced on the stanzas, but was very effective in the style of writing that he set out to do. You know, a helping hand to a helpless hand, you know, a thief in time may keep. I feel like it ties into a very, it ties in well to the crowd that he's trying to appeal to, because it's people that like almost like a Doors, like a Jim Morrison type slick way of twirling your words. I always just like Daniel's writing, but I feel like he accomplishes well in his adaptation of the right style.
Mm-hmm. Nice comment. You know, when I read Dan's work, I think there's a real element of kindness in a lot of it. So I think that this suited him very well, this prompt. And I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you feel things or you sense things from people's writing. And that's one of the things I get from Dan. So excellent comment there, Dex. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. I think this is a wonderful, thoughtful write. And I liked how he reminds us that oftentimes it feels like life is a circus, a balancing act. And that we're putting on a show for people, and you know that sometimes people treat other people's struggle like it's just something to be their own entertainment, and then other times you get those kind hands that reach out. I really like where he says, "I wish for wishes, the wishes I get each moment, a wish to avoid more regret." And it kind of shows how oftentimes there's this circular thinking in, you know, how we want to change things, and yet we want to keep them the same. I also like the human and humanity, kindness from reflection. And I like kindness from reflection because it makes me, to me, it just is that whole idea of we really have to stop and think about our actions and about the words we speak and how they reflect on us. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi.
Yeah, every time I read Daniel's work, I'm more and more impressed. There's beautiful lines in here, like beautiful stanzas. I love how lost in a spider web of memories, entangled in thousand other spider webs that each heartbeat weaves. And all the stanzas, like they're just amazingly well worded. And yeah, this is a great write. So bravo, Daniel. Like just amazing, amazing write here.
Great comment. Great comment. And Laurent.
I like the way he, Daniel, postulated time as a thief in the night. Actions, movement, every breath to steal and hoard. Every muscle twitch snatched by its eager claws, not to be recovered. And that's kind of essential to the entire poem. He begins to talk about the how time can become a spider web of memories. And there are so many spider webs that each heartbeat weaves. He speaks about things that have been left behind. He speaks about wishes and what those wishes are. Each moment a wish to avoid more regret. Then he uses the metaphor of a circus as a balancing act. Day after day, night after night, selfish to survive, selfless to aspire. But what I like best is the choice, that relentless, sadistic ringmaster. Choice, the birthplace of the bounty of that relentless thief called time. And he speaks about humanity in general, kindness from reflection. And the essential, I guess, is that through all the things that have happened in time and have been stolen, he doesn't look to get it back. He's happy with what occurred during those years, however you want to measure the time, and nobody can steal that from him. I thought that was beautifully done.
Nice comment. Yeah, I think this was a wonderful write, and I thought that Dan had, you know, really did a nice job with it. And it was a great read, Laurent, so thanks for that. And thanks, Dan. It's always good to have your rights on the board. Okay, Dexter, that brings me to you. You would be so kind as to read this piece by Daniel Duhem. And I hope I pronounced that right.
It's Ricky, Daniel Duhem. I was going to say, yeah, we just read it. All right, yeah. Sweet kindness. From a being of warmth glows within a flame of kindness to share everywhere. Those who are lost in confusion are given substance. Without kindness, there would be no compassion. Kindness flows like a blue river, purring with good intentions. Be if it mankind, who toils in its survival. Kindness between mother and son, mother and daughter, locks in the heart forever, never tarnished by time, but when it remembered, warms a heart with unforgotten love. Kindness come down to us from heaven with the eliminated bliss. With kindness, enemy becomes brothers. End poem.
Nice read, Dice. Nice read. Pam, that brings me to you.
Yeah, I really like Daniel Duhem's writing. And I like how he has this, like, as like it just flows in, as one thought after the other. And, you know, what I like about this is actually it reflects on, I was thinking earlier today about your contest and about this show and how kindness doesn't have to be between people who know each other. And oftentimes acts of kindness between, you know, family and friends, we oftentimes tend to see as have a sense of duty. But kindness between strangers, and even especially strangers that would consider each other enemies, it is something that's just really beautiful and really spiritual, and it shows really the depth of what kindness can do. So I think he really touches well on the idea that kindness can be between family and friends, but it can also be between the strangers. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Very nice comment. And Naomi?
Yeah, this made me think his last line, enemies become brothers. The World War when at Christmas time when the both sides reunited and there was a celebration there, you know, and there were no longer enemies. Made me think of that, and it's so true, you know, when kindness it can it's so powerful, and it showed through this rite. So it's the first time I read him, Daniel Duhem, but I'll be looking forward to reading more of his poems.
He's got a good French name,
huh? Pardon me?
He has a good French name, eh?
Duhem, wait. I don't know if he speaks French, but anyway, he has a French name.
Okay, and Laurent, that brings me to you.
Yeah, we expect kindness from a family member or a close friend, but when kindness comes from or is given to an enemy, it's magic can happen. And oftentimes magic does happen, and it opens the heart and lets kindness and reciprocity enter the picture, and that is a beautiful thing.
Amen. Amen. Okay, great comment, Laurent. And that brings me to Dexter.
I really enjoyed Naomi's comment because it brought perspective because, you know, European, it was, you know, you talked about brother versus brother, kind of, your backyard versus your backyard. But for, in the United States, that was a Civil War thing. And there have been plenty of other things that have been going on.
Dex, you're moving around?
He went the way of Thomas.
Yeah, Dexter dropped.
Mm-hmm. Well, two down. I'm not being a smart one. Really not.
He'll be back.
Maybe. Stranger things have happened. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up while we're waiting for everyone's return, if anyone returns, I'm going to put a piece by Diane D, and I do have a SoundCloud for that. So that means... Oh, and Dex has returned.
Never mind, I was lying anyway. No, I'm just kidding. No, let's roll on, Diane D. I'm ready for the next one, Diane D. I really liked the last one.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me hit the button for this one, and we'll move along.
The town meeting, where's kindness? The panel sat at a long table, happy, sad, fear, and anger. The mind, the committee, the vote. Their faithful followers divided around the room. The meeting topic, why do we need kindness? Ego led the meeting as usual. The committee kept allowing it. Because it is married to humility, I guess. Together they sat with reason as Harmony read the following motion aloud. The committee moves to remove kindness from her seat on the ground that she is never used by humankind. All eyes stared questionably at kindness. She sat quietly on a bench of her own. Nobody dared sit beside her. But courage and wisdom with content were willing to sit in the same row as her. Guilt shifted around uncomfortably on the calico couch between shame and remorse, scared to be seen hiding in the dark outside the half-open cedar door. Trust never showed up yet again. Kindness raises her thinning white hairs and confidently scans the room. Cupping her hands together in a sign of amen, she bids each section respectfully, a gesture she learned from her grandparents, peace and love. Smiling motherly, she addresses the panel. Anger. Return to the day you enraged took a mallet to confusion's car because you missed the green light. Anger, shame didn't bail you out. Called me at 2 a.m. with worry, so I called empathy because I knew that you were stressed. Anger, you never knew it was me. And fear, you have many sleepless nights figuring how to raise the money for your boy afraid when he needed chemo treatment. Day by day, time was running out until the money appeared anonymously. A random act of kindness, I believe. Suddenly an evident hush misted the room. The locals started listening to kindness. The sullen atmosphere lifted to curious. Happy smiled valiantly behind her mask. Courage, wisdom, and many others took to kindness inside her room. And now as happy and sad, let me gently remind you of that night, okay? First off, sad, I'm so sorry for your loss, especially when you were serving abroad. But it's time for some closure, my friend. No, sad, your wife Lonely did not die alone. I called Happy, who went to her hospital room. and held her hand all through her last breath. She passed with a smile on her face. Sad? Now how would I know that? The air in the room changed. Judgment stood and applauded. Everyone in the room whispered and wept their astonishment. Kindness asked Compassion to give Grief a tissue. That was her mom. Kindness continued. So you see, my fellow emotions, this is a representation of the human world. It's not that they don't make use of kindness. It's that they sometimes, in their pain, are unable to see kindness. As well, kindness passes through town often, but some of us choose not to make it known. So panel, before placing your vote, consider this. Look inside yourself and ask, how would your life be without kindness? And how do you impact the world anonymously? One random act of kindness at a time, my friend. End poem.
That was awesome. That was really awesome. Excellent job. Pam, I'm going to start with you, only because I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah. Beautiful. I really like how she creates this tale and personifies all the different kinds of emotions that people can have or that they deal with. And she puts it into the town meeting scenario. Eagle led the meeting as usual was just a really clever line, because oftentimes it is our ego that gets ahead of us. I like how she says guilt shifted around uncomfortably on the calico couch. I mean, there's really so many great lines here that you could imagine how if any feeling, an emotion, a thought was personified, how it would react. And I like that this is about kindness, but because it's put into almost like a trial-type format, to me it also comes across as about forgiveness as well, which I think is a part of kindness. And I like how in the end she goes, how would your life be without kindness? How do you impact the world anonymously, one random act of kindness at a time, my friend? And right there and then you can just almost hear the bang of the gavel and the cheer of the crowd as everyone realizes how truly important kindness is. So just a wonderful write and read and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, I just love Dee. Everything she writes, I just feed it up. And this is no exception. And I love the way she starts it off, you know, with, like Pam said, ego led the meeting. The committee allowed it because he was married to humility, I guess. And together they sat with reason as harmony read the following motion aloud. So, you know, harmony reads and... So it's so neat how she created the whole piece. It's so clever. And, and it's deep, too, and powerful because all the emotions come through. And, you know, and it hits home because it's true, you know, like Pam said, you're under all these emotions and you don't notice sometimes that, you know, the kindness that shines through that happens to be, you know, the most important emotion of all. So I think this is very, very well said within this piece. So bravo, Dee. Wonderful, wonderful job here. I applaud you.
Great comment, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
This is quite a deep piece. It ends up probing the human psyche in many ways. I do agree with Pam, the personification of emotions. I mean, what better way to explore emotions, including kindness, including ego, and the other, where is it? all the different personas that make up the committee and how they discuss the emotions and how the story is related, that changes everything, that allows the committee to appreciate kindness for what it is. It really is very, very clever, very inventive, I might say. I don't think I would have seen the possibilities in animating the emotions the way that she did, so bravo.
Nice comment. Very nice comment. And Zex.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this piece. And, you know, for a lot of what people were just talking about, it kind of had, it almost ties into a futuristic appeal about kindness itself leaving. There's been a recent study that has been put out that that people are losing emotional intellect each year. And so when we lose emotional intellect, you know, it's almost like we become closer and closer to machines or to robots, you know, when we don't view each other in a certain way. And kindness is a huge part of what makes us human. And so when the committee removes kindness, because it's never used by humankind, this is it almost has a Terminator type of a futuristic style or kind of writing to it. And I really enjoyed it. It was kind of frightening to me, but I enjoy these kinds of writes. So very well done by Diane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree with everybody. I thought this piece was really exceptional. It was very, I loved the way she wove it together. It reminded me of something that I've heard before, but not on this scale. And I love how she called each emotion out and said, you know, without me meaning kindness, you know, where would you be, you know? Because it's a foundation. It's a building block. If you don't have a kind heart, how can you be anything else to anyone else? You know, I mean, it has to start somewhere. Let me put it that way. And I think that she did a great job in putting that out there for everyone. So, love it, Diane. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I have one for you to read.
Okie dokie. All right. This is An Eternity of Song, and it goes like this. The morning sky holds apricot clouds upon a gray blue yawn, while empty trees lean down, wanting to hear the secrets of tenderness whispered. Still waters measure deep, reflecting the passing of time, the connection of heart, the journey taken. How beautiful is the silence that knows true love begins with acts of kindness. Find an eternity of song to explore and expand, knowing the prayer beneath the breath of a sheltered soul. End poem.
Oh, Pam, this is awesome. Really awesome. Naomi, you want to kick us off?
Wow. Yeah, this and it goes with the picture so well. It's so serene. It's so airy and peaceful, but it's deep too. It has that last those last stanzas there. Find an eternity of song to explore and expand, knowing the prayer beneath the breath of a sheltered soul. Wow. You always write so beautifully, Pam. I'm jealous.
Thank you, Naomi.
But it's just is a beautiful piece. Just so well worded and the flow, it's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Naomi, great comment. Laurent, how about you?
I'm always amazed how well cows write poetry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. So I have to echo Naomi. That line that she quoted, or the lines that she quoted, are really quite beautiful. This is a perfect remedy for this picture. It doesn't require too much. It requires just enough. And I noticed the little heart that the girl's hands make, and the boy's finger pointing at the heart kind of reinforces what the poem says so effectively. The connection of hearts, the journey taken, how beautiful is the silence that knows. That is very impressive, Pam.
Thank you, Lauren. Yeah.
Good comment, Lauren. And Dex, I'm back to you again.
Yeah, Pam just captured this so well. True love begins with acts of kindness. So many times our heart and our mind are so confused and wanting to believe in somebody that it isn't really truly there. But true love does really begin with the acts of kindness. I feel like to have true love with somebody, they have to exhibit the ability to love humankind almost as a whole, or love people in general. So I just really connected with that part, and I thought that this was just a superior write by Pam. Very well done.
Thank you,
nice
Dexter.
Comment. Pam, I love this piece. I think I say that every time you read something of yours, but I really do love this piece. As Laurent said, you know, it's a beautiful brevity. You didn't need to put a whole lot, but I mean, you really did it so well. You know, you didn't have to use a whole lot of words, but you definitely summed it all up beautifully, and I think it's just wonderful. Really, really wonderful.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you. I love when you write for the shows. Okay, Miss Naomi, I have yours up next.
Yeah, this is the first storybook I wrote for my students, well, for kids, and I wanted them to show them that, you know, acceptance, to start seeing the differences, and accepting the differences between people and things. And by acceptance, then you can start to be kind towards them. So this is when I was teaching the younger years, like kindergarten, grade one, grade two. And this is a poem I wrote based on that storybook. So.
Nice. You want me to play this audio, correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Just making sure.
So, so scary. Who? Emily, gripping her blanket, sat. For there was this rat, tat, tat. And a thump, thump under her bed. And then a deep, loud grump. With tiny hands over both ears and eyes full of tears, she screamed out, "Just stop it!" And suddenly, everything went quiet. She crawled, oh so carefully, to the edge of her bed. And sticking out from under were not one, not two, but three hairy, huge heads. And poor Emily, well, she screeched and shouted, and the monster jumped out and dived straight into the closet. Under the covers, Emily hid without a peek, and then the floor creaked, and she took a sneak and looked straight into six terrified round eyes The monster jumped back, and Emily asked, "Why? Why are you so scared? Oh, please tell me why." The monster gulped and replied real shy, "Well, you have only one head, two tiny eyes, and oh, so little hair." "Oh, no, you are the scary one," Emily replied, cause you have three heads, six humongous eyes, and you are all hairy. Why are you so hairy?" "Oh, my hair helps keep me warm," the monster answered. "It's so cold sleeping down here on the floor." "Well, I suppose since you're no longer very scary, there's room for one more," said Emily. "Why don't you jump right in here with me?" "Well, since you are no longer very scary either, I think I will," answered the monster. And he jumped into the bed. "Hi, my name is Gidley. Oh, this is so, so comfy and warm. Thank you," he said. "No problem," answered Emily. "Good night, not so scary Gidley. We might just become the best of friends."
Great job, Naomi. Great story. I love it. Laurent, brings me to you.
This is such a great teaching poem. I'd love to know after I finish my comment what the reaction of the kids was to this. It teaches so effectively not to be scared of what looks different or sounds different, but to get to know it. Once you know it, you may find out that you really can become the best of friends with someone who's different. We seem to live in a society today where the difference between people is emphasized, and we're some of us don't like anything that looks different, sounds different, is different. Well, to me, diversity and difference is a blessing. It really is. And this particular poem brings that out so strongly. I was absolutely delighted by this, Naomi. How did the kids like it?
Well, when I read it to them, I brought in a big blanket. So we were all hiding underneath the blanket. We were all like Emily, you know? Yeah. And, so they really found it really cool. They were all hiding underneath the blanket, and I was like the monster. So, yeah, they really liked it. I still remember it. It was quite a few years ago.
That is great.
Yeah.
No, I just loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It really is. Dexter, that brings me to you.
The kids that I work with would absolutely love this story, too. I work with special needs high school kids, and every chance that they get, they hide around the corner to scare you and every other thing. They're just such a funny group of kids. I absolutely love them, but this story is fantastic, and it tackles the idea of scared, I feel like, from an adult perspective. There's certain feelings that you still have that are a little bit scared, but the reality is that when you work it out in your mind as an adult, there's nothing to be scared of. You know, you step out there and you do this and you do this, and I feel like this – this tackles the idea of fear from a place of logic very well, but in a way that is relatable to kids. I don't know. I just thought this was a fantastic write.
Thank you.
Great comment. And Pam?
I think this is just absolutely delightful. And I like how you used this right to teach about, you know, learning to accept differences and learning that, you know, strangers can become friends, and that how important it is to reach out in the acts of kindness. And I think you've created just a wonderful setting of characters here. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Well, Naomi, I love this. I really did. I thought it was excellent the way that you you went about this story here, because you went from being scared to working your way through that fear to learning a little acceptance of this person that was scaring you. And I think it was great. It was really a clever idea and very well done. So I much enjoyed it.
Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Now, Laurent, I have your piece up next.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. There it is. Okay. This is called Kindness of Memory. And I chose this image because it absolutely reminded me of Hamlet, alas, poor Yorick. I knew him well. Okay. Where does she park her kindest intentions while holding the act in reserve? Steeplebush holds the remains of a life in her passive hand, quizzical. There were old days, years past, when small humans came to pick flowers. One, named Violet, giggled as she ran, laughter sparkling in rivers of air. His name whispered, "Are you?" Empty shadow eyes do not answer, but something stirs magically, a face shimmering over bleached bone, sad flesh, yet with eyes of hope, a mouth speaking into silence, whispering of a future shattered by horsefall, rock a cruel pillow for her head, laying undiscovered in the tall grass of a wild ride at day's end. Steeplebush wept, remembering Violet's absence, unquestioned. "Remember me now," came a last ghostly request as the face faded. Adorned, held tenderly, brushed clean, Violet was loved, remembered again. End poem.
Nice job, Laurent. Nice job. I like this one a lot. Dexter, that brings me to you.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Laurent, but I really appreciate this because I feel like the artistic tone of it is very different from what your typical writing is. It has a certain era, and I'm not sure what the era is, of the cadence that you wrote in. It just seems like you almost channeled something a different character, not of yourself, to write this one. And I appreciate that you stuck with it and actually captured it extremely well throughout this, because just even, like I said, the length of the lines, the perspective, and just the way that you stated it is different, and a lot of times it's easier to channel off and to drift back into you. But I felt like you this was a very consistent piece, very well done by you.
Thank you, Dexter. When I write for children, or say for adolescents, I do change my tone entirely, and I tend to write much more conventionally. Thank you.
Okay, this was my contest. You calling me a child or an adolescent? That's what I want to know. Let's get this.
Well, you're no child. I can testify to that personally. And as for adolescent behavior, I'll just skip over that entirely.
Yeah, okay, well, Well, you know, there's such a thing as the pot calling the kettle black, but...
Hey,
okay.
Be kind.
I was being kind. I said what I said. That was it. I was moving along. I could have said more. Okay, Pam, how about you?
Well, these are beautifully written couplets. This was a picture I also considered, too, and I also just couldn't get my mind away from, like you said, Hamlet and, you know, the last prioric. But I like how this is about, you know, kindness remembered. I like whispering of a future shattered by horse fall rock, cruel pillow for her head, laying undiscovered in the tall grass of a wild ride at day's end. There's such just vivid and emotional imagery there. And I like how this touches on the idea of that, you know, when somebody is gone, we can still remember what they meant to us. So excellent writing, very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi.
Yeah, where do we park our kindest intentions while holding the axe in reserve? It is, you know, the first question of this poem. And you go throughout these different intentions and emotions here, like in metaphors of the flowers. It's just beautifully written. And, just like always, Laurent, it's a beautiful piece. I loved how it finished there, adorned, held tenderly, brushed clean, violet was loved, remembered again. That says it all right there, you know. That she, with her acts of kindness, she was loved once again. So, yeah, bienvenue, an absolute beautiful piece.
Okay, nice comments, everybody. I loved this piece, Laurent. I thought it was loving and well expressed. I thought it was a great, great reflection of that chosen prompt, and really was an awesome piece. So well done. Yeah. It's just beautiful. And I'm with Dexter.
Thank you, my adolescents.
Yeah. I don't think you want to pursue that now.
Throw caution to the winds. Why not?
Jean Marie might come out and have a few things to say.
About time.
Excuse me?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As he told me, be nice. I think Dexter is really onto something. This piece is written much differently than a lot of your pieces. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. I mean, it makes it unique, and it makes it stand out. And I like that. So, okay. So now. Yeah, I lost the room. Where it is. I found it. And Mr. Dexter? Okay, he did not drop.
Okay.
This is good. You are up next.
This is the power of kindness. Warm and intimate as the sun, giving life to each flower. Genuine as a smile when caught in the moment. In a universe operating on the guidelines of set principles, acts of kindness reside in an anomaly-like state. The law of force will always be determined by the mass multiplied by the acceleration. Yet the smallest act of kindness projects immeasurable quantities of positive energy into the world around us.
each action taken towards brightening the life experience of those we encounter removes piece by piece the darkness that shades the fruits of existence. So make habit out of effort and leave behind the inheritance of a smile. End poem.
Nice work, Dex. Really nice work. Definitely.
Thank you.
Pam, that brings me to you.
Yeah, I really like this. I like that within this rite, there's kind of almost a feel of science, but that in that, Dexter, that you make kindness a source of energy, a living, almost like a living essence that moves around and has a power of its own, a principle of action and reaction. I really like where you say, where each action taken towards brightening the life experience of those we encounter removes piece by piece the darkness that shades the fruits of existence. And that is so true and such a powerful, heartfelt line in the idea that, you know, we may not be the one thing, the one person that takes away all their darkness, but we can take away a little piece of time, and that is so important. And I think this is a beautifully written brevity and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi.
Yes. Yeah, Dex, this is so spiritual, and it talks like about society as a whole, and it's just so well written, each line. I love how you start out with warm and intimate as the sun giving life to each flower. Each flower is like, you know, the sun, the acts of kindness of the sun, and each flower can be each individual on the planet. And how you go into and all through on the last line, so make habit out of effort and leave behind the inheritance of a smile. That line is wow right there. And I just love this piece and everything that Pam said to the energy throughout it. It's like it's almost scientific in a way, but you know, with lines of spirituality all through it, it's just an amazing message here that you write and you give to the reader. So thank you, Naomi.
Now, Laurent, that brings me to you.
When I heard, read the lines, the law of force will always be determined by the mass multiplied by the acceleration, I thought to myself, where is this going? And then the next two lines, yet the smallest act of kindness projects immeasurable quantities of positive energy into the world. I thought that the contrast between the science of force compared to the energy of kindness was a wonderful way to illustrate the theme. Really, very, very well done, Dexter.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Laurent.
Yeah, Dex, I got to say, you know, I was like looking at this, and I know it's only a brevity, but I have to say, I had to yank this out. And it's part of what Laurent had quoted. But yet the smallest act of kindness projects immeasurable quantities of positive energy into the world around us. Each action taken towards brightening the life experience of those we encounter removes piece by piece the darkness that shades the fruits of existence. So make habit out of effort and leave behind the inheritance of a smile. I thought it was just an excellent brevity. And I had to pull those lines down. You know, I felt kind of silly because it seemed like so much of the piece, you know, all together. But I think they were wonderful, wonderful lines. And I you know, you're here. You know, great job. Great job.
Thank you. Yeah, I felt like it almost lost a little bit of the poeticness of it, but it just, I don't know, I'm glad everybody enjoyed it. Like I said, it just flowed the right way.
So thank you.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Very strong. I think those lines made it stronger.
Absolutely. Packed a punch. Let's put it that way. Ms. Pam, I have one for you, my friend.
Yes, Ms. Dean.
There we go. By Mary Boren.
All right. The Way You Are by Mary Boren. And it goes like this. In midst of my apology, you smiled and reached a hand to me and said, I love you just the way you are. That unexpected simple gift give my heart the needed lift was warm as toast and fuzzier by far. So now I want to turn around and give the world the joy I found in loving me as well as them and you. It doesn't cost a penny more to factor kindness in the score and give the benefit of doubt when due. No punishment can more constrict the soul than what we self-inflict. I've yet to meet a person without flaws, a gift, an opportunity to learn, and then it's history. Forgive and love oneself because I'm what I am, no more, no less, sometimes a saint, sometimes a mess. Like every rider on this carousel, if anything takes pleasure from accepting me the way I come, I'll take the gift and wish the others well. And home.
Nice read, Pam. Naomi, what do you think?
I love the first lines. To give my heart a needed lift was warm as toast and fuzzier by far. That's quite, to compare, take toast and put fuzzier in the same line. That's quite cool. And this was deep, and it was so well written. And just accepting, that every little action that you do, even the smallest ones, they're so important. And forgive and love oneself just because, to be able to go on in life and be kind to others, and to be kind, started by being kind to your own self before you can be kind to others, be kind to your own self. I think that goes through it, that shines through in this poem too. And it's just a great write. So,
absolutely.
By Mary Boren. Okay, I never read her before, but this is amazing.
Absolutely.
And Laurent, how about you?
I'm sorry, I wandered away. Give me just a second here. We're still talking about Dexter's piece, right?
No.
All right, I've fallen behind. Give me 1 second, please.
Okay, well, Dexter, you want to comment?
All right, I beg your pardon. The Way You Are, right? Wow, when was I when this was read?
The Way You Are, yes.
Can you speak on this one, and I'll leave a textual comment?
That's fine. Dexter, would you like to comment?
I felt like... what I felt like this captured is what it talked about is about the self-esteem. There's nothing wrong with capturing that kind of side up to yourself. I felt like this poem really captured the side of after maybe really being hurt and not being quite fully able to open up, so you still have this kind of hard outer shell in defense of yourself, and you feel like you have to build yourself up, and you have to build the way that you are. I thought that this captured that part of you, and there's nothing wrong with that, I just thought this was a very intriguing write, and I thought it was very well done.
Great comment. Great comment. And Pam.
Yeah, I thought this had wonderful rhyme and flow, and I thought it had a just a really important message about how oftentimes when somebody is shown an act of kindness or given kindness, they want to pass it on because they want other people to, you know, experience the joy that they've experienced. I also like how this reminds us that nobody's perfect, and that sometimes people accept us and sometimes they won't. And you know what? We just have to, you know, appreciate the people who do accept us and, you know, just move on and away from the people who don't. So, you know, wonderful write and very well done.
Nice comment. I thought it was a great piece as well. I've never read Mary Boren's work before, but I was happy to read this tonight. So well done, Mary, and I think you picked a great prompt for that as well. Okay. So, Naomi, I have one for you.
Okay. To anyone who doesn't think they're beautiful, by Beautiful Blade. I'm not going to tell you that you're beautiful, because my words could never be enough to break the wall of glass that you somehow think protects you. I'm not going to tell you that you're beautiful because you only hear my words in a way that makes you think I'm lying. And I'm always lying. Lying when I look at you and say your eyes are endless galaxies. And I get lost in the twinkling lights that show up when you smile. Stars never shine so brightly as when they're dying, and I would ride through space to save you, but still you think I'm lying, crying wolf as I pull on the cat's comet tail, trying to fly through the asteroid field that guards you, you. You beautiful dying star that will never believe, but simply stop trying to shine, to live, to be more than what you see in your reflection. I'm not going to tell you that you're beautiful, but I will tell you that you're worth more than worthless, more than gold, more than the mirror that you can never truly capture beauty. Shooting stars concealed behind your smile, giving glimpses of peace, playing hide and seek behind planets, flying saucers on a collision course, and icy insecurities. I'm not going to tell you that you're beautiful. You wouldn't believe me. You've never even met. We've never even met. But I know you. I see you. You can hide behind a screen name and a smile, but I know you, know your pain. Know that the secrets you hide behind those lips and the undertones and the words that you type say more than you could ever say. Has anyone ever said that they love you? Has anyone ever meant it? You are Pluto. Fleeting, demoted because of your second-class size, crooked eyes, and imperfections. But Pluto will always be a planet in my book. You hang out at the outside of the picture, orbiting around happiness, but just out of reach because you never believe that it is yours for the taking. Cold, unloved, unwanted, Pluto was a placemat where only the strong survived. When we were kids, it marked the start of infinity and beyond. I'm not going to tell you that you're beautiful, but every step you take is the start of a new path that started back in a grade school class. When you couldn't wrap your head around just how long of a journey it would take to reach the outskirts of our solar system. Hell, you thought the two-hour ride to Grandma's house was never going to end, but you sure wished you could bend the rules of space and time, fly to the end of infinity just to see how far it goes. And you, you beautiful dying star, shooting through space and all the time, wondering who and what you are, because you just can't accept that shining brightly doesn't have to mean that you're dying. We sent satellites into the sky and found the edge of our imagination when we discovered things that we had never even dreamed. And in the same way, I will send rockets up to find you, to smash into that glass wall that you somehow think protects you. Maybe in the glimmer of the light shining off the falling pieces, you'll see beauty in the million of stars and realize that you see what you see is your reflection.
Excellent job. Laurent, what's going to bring me to you first?
This is, to me, the most moving, almost the most moving poem of the evening. There were several others that were equally good. But to use the cosmic metaphor and the dying star that shines, therefore it's dying, it's just... Well, it tugs at you, it pulls at you. This is someone who doesn't believe she can be anything, who doesn't believe she is beautiful. And yet it's expressed so well. You hang out at the outside of the picture, orbiting around happiness, just out of reach, because you never believe that it is yours for the taking. Now, there's been enough mention in this piece about dying, and I almost wonder whether or not he is speaking to someone who is perhaps dying, or whether it's the metaphor of the shooting star that shines so brightly and then dies, that he means. Perhaps both, I don't know. I love the way he assigns Pluto as her persona, feeling demoted because of your second-class size, crooked eyes, and imperfections. But Pluto will always be a planet in my book. This is very, very inventive. And very moving, absolutely moving, because there's so many people who can't believe anything good about themselves, who don't take compliments easily at all, and don't know where they fit by comparison to the compliment. That's not me, they think. But yes, often it is. Just a great piece.
Please comment, Laurent. Dex, how about you?
And you know, this is almost going against maybe a lot of the comments that I've made as far as being pro poet, but this right is very well stated for people that put so much weight in words. To some people, you know, it there's some people that you encounter and some people that you come across that they put so much weight into what's said about them, into what's, you know, I mishear, you know, the older I get, it's funny that I don't know if I have selective hearing or what, but it's like I hear things so wrong. I speak wrong, you know, so often. And if you're going to put so much weight into words all the time, rather than actions and stuff, you're setting yourself up to really be, you know, at the sword's edge or something, you know. And there are people like this, you know, and there are people that are absolutely beautiful, but they only rely on being able to hear it, or they're a dying star because they have to hear. You know, they rely on things that aren't living, you know,
as much as we love words, we're the ones that put life into the words, you know. This is a fantastic write, and like Laurent said, this is just a very stunning and moving piece.
Absolutely. Great comment. Pam, about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a really powerful write about being there for someone in their moments of self-doubt. And I like what she used the planet Pluto as an example, as a metaphor for the idea of, you know, someone tells you who or what you are, like you're a planet now, you're not a planet now, you know, and you believe them. It makes me think about, you know, the images seen in a lot of those fashion magazines and, you know, how we take them at their word. I really thought this was just a wonderful, emotive write and very well done.
Absolutely. I agree. Naomi?
Yeah, this is, well, like everybody said, it's very deep and emotional piece. I don't know if it was mentioned, but what stuck out to me was you can hide behind a screen name and a smile, but I know you know your pain, the secrets you hide. You know, so many people, they write, like me, even maybe on AP, and they're hiding behind a screen name and behind a smiley face, and, you know, they're going through painful times and, you know, hiding that. And so that stuck out to me in this poem, and plus with everything that everybody else mentioned, that it was a fabulous piece. Just so well written, and a lovely message, and wonderfully worded all through.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Well, I have to say that I thought that this piece was really wonderful. I think that Beautiful Blade did a great job with it. The thing that amazes me is it was an old poem. She didn't write this for the contest. And she says here in her AN, an old poem that fits prompt 5. Prompt 5, I think, was meant for some other contest. Because I don't think it fits our prompt 5. But I did put the image that I thought it fit the best in the in my comment to her, because I think it was more like prompt 14 on our page. It was prompt 14. And I'll put it in the room. But it was a very clever piece, and it was well done. And I find it so funny that it actually suited this piece so well. So, excellent stuff. And we have 2 minutes to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure there's another poem in here. That would be silly. But I hope everyone had a good night. I appreciated each of you calling in and spending time with us. Thomas, I'm sorry you fell off the line, but we'll be happy to have you next time. It's all good. I think it was a great contest. And Pam, I want to thank you for all your thoughts on that. And Laurent, thanks for calling in and helping out as always. Beth, appreciate you joining us. Naomi, it's always good to have you around. Great poems, everybody.
Nice to be around.
Yeah, we love it, you know. It's always nice to have a cheerful voice, you know, join us. I think that it was a good contest. I say it was a success. I think the show was great, and I enjoyed everybody's company. So thank you very much for everything. Pam, thanks for running those phones and keeping everybody in out of trouble. You know, except for Laurent.
Oh, yeah. No. I can... Well, great show tonight, Dean.
Thanks, hon. Thank you very much. And everybody have a great rest of the week, and be here on Friday. Yeah.
Hey,
so,
thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a great night and a great
week. Good night, all.
Good night.